بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This Thursday, 20th day of Ramadan, 1438 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. In this Masjid in Boso, insha'Allah ta'ala, where we shall continue the tafsir of Surah Al-Imran. We're reading Surah Al-Imran, and in Surah Al-Imran we have gotten up to the 141st verse. Am I correct? No, 145th verse. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَن يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَسَنَجْزِي الشَّاكِرِينَ. That's where we stopped, inshallah. Today, بإذن الله تعالى, we shall continue from the 146th verse. In the 145th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was again teaching us tawheed, believing in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that the soul belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He takes it when He wills, and also teaching us the tawheed that is of ibadah, tawheed uluhiyya, that we should seek only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else, that all that we aim at is seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking the reward from mankind. This is tawheedul ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and aiming only at Him with our ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us all of these in one ayah. So inshallah ta'ala we shall get to another issue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discuss, all pertaining to what we have been seeing, strengthening the mu'minun and showing mu'minun that the way of the mu'minun is that of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a belief that is unshakable. And when you have that belief, you remain persistent till the end, because like we all know in the Quran, it is not the way you begin that matter, but the way you end. That's why Nabi Yusuf, for instance, alayhi salam, to Allah and said, "Tawaffani Musliman wa alhiqni bis-salihin." Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, said what? "Wala tukhzini yawma yub'athun. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم." Nabi Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام says, "رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات." So what we want always is the forgiveness of Allah, is ending this life while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. So we seek the akhirah, even though we seek the dunya, but the akhirah is more important for us, that you end well, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you on the day of resurrection. May Allah be pleased with us. So inshallah ta'ala, we shall continue to learn that we should not weaken. We should not be discouraged by anything. When we worship Allah, we should try to be consistent. So Allah says, وَكَأَيِّنْ
معه ربيون كثير فرعان بها أقار في سبيل الله وأضعف والله
الله سبحانه وتعالى says وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير. I said قاتل, but our qari said qutil. These are all authentic. You can say qatala, you can say qutil. Also in a qira'a you can say waka'in min nabiyin. So there are those who say waka'in min nabiyin. There are those who say waka'ayyim min nabiyin. Some say qutila and some say qatala. All of these are authentic. And then there are those who do not say waka'ayyin, and they also do not say waka'in. Instead they say what? Waka'ayyim. Do we understand? All of these are authentic insha'Allah ta'ala. So Allah says waka'ayyin من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير. أها فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا. أها وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. الله says وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير وكأي. There were times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets. There were a number of prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. When he sent them, what happened to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. In this one we have recited, like we said, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Kathir al-Makki, النافع المدني, وَأَهْلُ الْبَصْرَى, all read بِدَمِّ الْقَافِ. أي, وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ قُتِلْ. Then you stop there. مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. You continue from there. So, قَاتَلَ is they fought. Who fought with him? وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. There were prophets that had followers. Multitudes of followers. That's رِبِّيُّون. Rabbiya, some people say, is 10,000. Some people say it's 1,000. So Rabbiyun is Jumu. Plenty of them. There were plenty, thousands and thousands of people behind them who fought along with them. That is, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is not the first prophet that fought. Do we understand? Is not the first prophet that fought. Can you tell me another tale of a prophet that led a battle in the Quran? A prophet before Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? Huh? Prophet who? Prophet Tawheed? Prophet Dawood. Can you recite the place in the Quran where he fought? Yes? Tell me, come on. Dawood. Yes, tell me the verse. I'm not asking you, come on. You have cut short the ayah. At least you have tried, at least. Yes, tell me the beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 500 naira has gone for nothing. The beginning of the story. Alam tara. Alam tara. Ila al-mala'i. من بني إسرائيل من بعد موسى إذ قالوا لنبي له مبعث لنا ملكا نقاتل في سبيل الله. So they asked by themselves, these people, who was their prophet before Dawood? Who was their prophet? There was a prophet before Dawood. إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُ مُبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Is it Dawood that was the prophet? Before Dawood, who was it? Good. The one they call in the Bible Samuel. Samuel. So, it's not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that started fighting. When they say that Islam is a bloodthirsty religion, all you do is fight, you spread your religion through fight, through wars and all that. Well, they're actually insulting all the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Because there were many prophets of Allah who fought. So if they are insulting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he fought in Badr, fought in Uhud and so on and so forth, then they should insult, they are also insulting Moses, they are also insulting Dawood, they are also insulting Shamuel, they are also like that. There are many prophets that they are insulting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there were prophets behind whom many people fought. They had followers who fought along with them, fought battles for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is, look at what cost the battles, not just the battles on their own. Nobody is ever forced to embrace the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is as a result of submission from your heart. If you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your Islam. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So it has to be that you submitted from the bottom of your heart and you decided on your own that you would rebel against all that is worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you believe in Allah alone. That's when you will actually be a Muslim. So nobody forces anyone to embrace Islam. It's not even possible. Because like they say, you can drag a horse to the river, but you can't force it to drink. So it's not possible for you to force Islam on anyone. But then there were many prophets who had followers, many, many multitudes of followers behind them who fought along with them. قاتل معه ربيون كثير. You understand? Now ربيون, like we said, is Jamma. Many people, many thousands and thousands of people fought behind them, just like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you the Sahaba, you the Mu'minun, you the believers in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know that this, you are not the first. It's not the first time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying Mu'minun with battle. Those before you were also tried with that. So there is nothing strange about what is being done to you. So if there is any condition you are going through, others before you also went through the same condition. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those others are Ribbiyun. First of all, Ribbiyun is simply Jumu'ah, very many people. Do we understand? Another is what? Another is that they were Rabbaniyun. So Ribbiyun actually could also mean Rabbaniyun, as some ulama translated it. Some ulama translated it as Rabbaniyun. Very many people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had pious people behind them who fought and supported them in their battles. And those were kathir, very many. So either you say they were Rabbaniyun, or you say they were Ribbiyun, all means the same thing. Because nobody fights behind the Prophet except the person is a pious person. Those who fight behind the Prophet and the Prophet praises them, then of course and Allah praises them for their battle behind the Prophet, it means they were not hypocrites. And so these were also pious people, all of them. So if it's Rabbiyun, as meaning very many people, those people were pious because Allah is praising them. If it means Rabbaniyun, pious people, there were plenty, and it still goes back to the same thing. So inshallah ta'ala, all these qira'at will just strengthen each other, and they are, all these different translations or interpretations will strengthen each other, and they all mean the same thing. Like Mujahid and Qatada says, Jumu' Kathira. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, Al-Ribbiyun is Al-Uluf, so thousands of people. Al-Kalbi says, Al-Ribbiyah is, Al-Wahida is Ashar to Alaf. So when you say Ribbiyun, there are very plenty. Al-Hasan al-Basri says, they are Fuqaha, Ulama. So people who knew fiqh, people who knew jurisprudence, people who were very knowledgeable, that they were behind their prophets and they fought. Some others say they are just Atba, the followers, the companions of the prophets. Some say they are Al-Rabbaniyun. Some say they are Al-Wulah, leaders of different clans, they were behind their prophets. Some say they were just, people who cared for others, who are taking care of others like lords to other people. Wallahu ta'ala alam. All of these, they fought behind their prophets. So when you say qutilat, qatala ma'ahu ribbiyun, or waka'ayyin min nabiyyin qutila. There were prophets that were killed. Some prophets were killed. It's not that they just fought, but they were killed. But then ma'ahu ribbiyun kathir, with him were very many learned people. People who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who were his followers who believed in him. And when those prophets were killed, what did their followers do? Because you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Sahaba, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ. You remember that? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only a prophet, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's nothing more than that. He's a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's a man, just like other messengers before him, he will die. So if he dies, or if his death comes through being killed in battle, will you now say you will no longer be Muslims? Now, if that is what you're contemplating, then Allah says, وَكَمْ مِن نَبِيٍ وَكَأَيِّم مِن نَبِيٍ or وَكَائِم مِن نَبِيٍ. There was prophets, Kain from Kana. You understand? Now, so there were prophets behind you who were killed. Before you, sorry. Who were killed? Not one, not two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some prophets who were killed. But then they had followers who were pious people. But then, فَمَا وَهَنُوا وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا إِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the fact that their prophets were killed did not weaken them. They weren't weakened, they weren't discouraged, they weren't demoralized as a result of that. So either that, their companions fought behind them and were never discouraged by any trials that they faced during the battle, or that the prophets were killed and their followers were never discouraged by that. They never left Islam because their prophet had died, because they had gotten the important thing from the prophet, which was his message. You know, like our Qari recited, وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ. So he was told stories. A lot was revealed to him. And that revelation he passed to the generation, to the people with him. Since he had passed the message and they had accepted it, whether he's around or not does not matter. They will continue to practice what the message entails. And so you don't get discouraged by the fact that, you know, some people do that now. If they say, where do I go to now? Who will now feed me? Who will take care of me? That was the only person I had. You know, if his house, I say, where you, Allah, na na mutu na la la che. Who else will care for me now? I'm sure the Yorubas have their own too. Huh? You no want to tell me now. So that I don't imitate you. I'm sure the Yorubas will have their own. Trust the Yorubas. Huh? And Igbos too, I'm sure they have theirs. Do we have Igbo people here? Huh? No more Igbo here. Better go and get Muslim Igbo brothers to the school. Like that, every tribe, people have theirs. If it's in Africa, they are different. There are some who sew uniform just to mourn the dead. Huh? They say, hey, where will we go today? What else can we do today? The person that was this, that was that. Those followers of those prophets never did any such thing. So why should the Sahaba do so when those ones did not do so? The companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are more prestigious. They are more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the companions of other prophets who were not prophets. Because there were some prophets that had some of their companions as prophets. Like Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun was one of his companions and he was also a prophet of Allah. Huh? There was Nabi Ibrahim, he was with Lut. They were both prophets of Allah. There was Nabi Yaqub, his son. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet of Allah. So, but then those companions of those prophets who were not prophets also, they are not as loved by Allah as the companions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So if those ones were not weakened, were not discouraged, were not demoralized by the death of their prophets, then of course, as-sahaba min babi awla. So they should not also be discouraged. And then the mu'minun after the sahaba, especially us, we should never be discouraged by difficult times. No matter how difficult it gets, we should always know, insha'Allah ta'ala, that at the end, we will succeed, we will triumph. May we triumph. You know, there are so many things that these imposters, these Zionists, these ones that have taken over Palestine and called it Israel. There is no such thing as a land called Israel. Israel is the name of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. There is such thing as a land called Israel. If you don't know, maybe you should know. These Zionists are the ones that have created this thing. And amongst them there are conflicts, because there are Jews amongst them who say it is wrong, it is against their scripture, that there should not be such a thing, and that they have taken over the land of the Palestinians, they should return the land. There are Jews today who say that. There were some of them who were supporting people like some of these Hamas people. There are some Jews who are with them, supporting their cause. There are some Jews who were actually on the side of Ahmad Didat. There was like that and like that. There are still Jews today who are going to Muslim lands and showing support for the Palestinians, because they don't accept what is being done to Muslims there. But then, the Jews are arrogant. Those ones that call themselves Jews today, they are arrogant. The Zionists. Zionism started in the 20th century. So it's a new thing. So those ones there who have brought about Zionism, this apartheid regime of theirs that is worse than the one in South Africa, that the whole world of Kufr was rallying around Nelson Mandela and supporting him against the apartheid regime in South Africa. They were all hypocritical, because those same people today are not supporting the Palestinians. And the Palestinians need more support, because the racism that the so-called Israelis are showing those people today is worse than what the South Africans were shown. So why the hypocrisy? Why the double standards? Why were those of South Africa supported while those of Palestine are left to suffer in the hands of these people? No matter what it is, we tell the Palestinians, we tell the other Muslims who sympathize with Palestine, that insha'Allah ta'ala, the prophets that Allah sent before us were also killed. They were also persecuted. Their lands were taken over. Because this Nabi Shamuel, that's what his people were telling him. Said, هَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَمْوَالِنَا وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. When we have been expelled from our lands, when we have been separated from our children, some of our children have been killed. Some men have been killed, separated from their children. Some of the children were killed and separated from their fathers. Some were abducted and taken as slaves. When all these have happened, why should we not fight? So it was so in the time of those people, and insha'Allah ta'ala, it shall be so in this time. If those people fought and went through all of that and were not weakened by the fact that they were not granted victory immediately, by the fact that sometimes they were even defeated and humiliated, and yet they remained faithful, they remained strong, and at the end Allah gave them victory, we tell the Palestinians, just take it easy, remain strong, do not weaken, do not be discouraged, insha'Allah ta'ala, one day all this shall be history. One day, insha'Allah ta'ala. When we relate this hadith, these ones that call themselves Jews, who actually are mostly atheists, they laugh at us. But we know it is true. We know that at the end, victory is for the Muslims. There will come a time, insha'Allah, when every handspan on earth shall taste Islam. There will be no spot where people breathe, where life exists, that Islam will not rule. There will be such a time. At such a time, a tree will expose the Yahud. Stone will expose the Yahud and say, oh Muslim, there's this impostor behind me. Come and kill him. and the world shall be for Muslims and Islam alone, insha'Allah ta'ala. There will be such a time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Because you are mu'minun, just wait. Just take it easy. Do not be lazy. Do not be discouraged. Do not be demoralized. And do not be sad. Don't be sad. Insha'Allah ta'ala wa antumul a'lam. Very soon, the upper hand shall be yours. You shall be victorious. And all other people, insha'Allah ta'ala, shall come beneath you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا وَهَنُوا أَيْ فَمَا فَمَا جَبُنُوا. They were not discouraged. They didn't become lazy. They didn't lose hope. لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا عَنِ الْجِهَادِ بِمَا نَالَهُمْ مِنْ أَلَمِ الْجَرَاحِ. So they were not weakened. The fact that they fought, the fact that they were killed, the fact that they were tortured, and so on and so forth, did not discourage them at all. The fact that they were defeated at the time did not discourage them at all. Even the wounds on them, the sores on them, the injuries that they had sustained in those wars, they did not discourage them. And then, وَمَسْتَكَانُوا. They were never at the time humbled by their enemies. They never submitted. They never surrendered to their enemies. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا. They never surrendered. They were never weakened. They were never intimidated by anything that their enemies had. So today the Jews have sophisticated weapons. They have nuclear weapons and all that and all that. And Muslims are not allowed them. But the Jews, these so-called Jews, they have them today. America strengthens them with everything, and yet they make it impossible for Muslim nations to have that. At a time that they thought Iraq was getting too strong for their liking, and that Iraq may pose a threat to Israel, to this so-called Israel today, they fabricated a lie, and then they said that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. They used that to destroy Iraq. After they had destroyed Iraq and destroyed Iraq's weapons and everything, they now came and said they were, in fact, they have never apologized, neither to the Muslim world nor to Iraq as a nation, let alone to the world in general. They never did so because of their arrogance. They have destroyed Iraq. They have killed people, millions of people. At a time, at a go, they killed 500,000 infants. And they said it was worth it. It was worth it as a collateral damage. And yet no weapon was found. It's deliberate. It's deliberate to weaken Muslim nations and to continue to strengthen those people so that their agenda will be met. But insha'Allah ta'ala, all of that, we know all that is happening. Almost the whole world of kufr is against us. And they have more weapons than we have. In fact, we even buy weapons from them. That means we have no weapons at all and they have everything. But wallahi al-azim, despite all of that, because we believe in Allah, we believe in Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, we believe all that is told to us in the Quran and Sunnah, we know that that will be only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. Insha'Allah ta'ala, all that shall be history. And Islam shall have the upper hand, insha'Allah. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُوا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah will always be with us, will always assist us. So do not ever get discouraged. Do not be intimidated by the weapons that the enemies of Islam have. Do not ever get intimidated by that. Because the Muslims would never get intimidated by that. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا أَيْ وما ذلوا قال عطاء وما تضرعوا قال ابو العالية وما جبنوا ولكن صبروا على امر ربهم they were only patient وطاعة نبيهم they were patient when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them they were patient and they were obedient to their prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when he led them وجهاد عدوهم and they were patient when they fought their enemies so you be patient with Allah you be patient with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and then be patient when you fight when you are killed when you are wounded when you are called names when you are insulted when you are frustrated be patient wasbir wama sabruka illa billah the reward of your patience will be only with Allah سبحانه وتعالى انما يوفى الصابرون اجرهم بغير حساب and your reward will know no bounds no limits والله يحب الصابرين and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are patient may Allah count us amongst the patient so Allah says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين So وما كان قولهم They didn't say anything except That's what it means. They didn't say anything except what? At the time that they were fighting along with their prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, what did they say? They didn't say anything illa an qalu except that they said, Rabbana ighfir lana dhunubana, O our Lord, forgive us our sins. And some ulama say, These sins, the first one he started with, are as-saghair. Wa israfana fi amrina, ay al-kabair. And where we transgressed our bounds, we went beyond our limits. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us all of that. Forgive us our trespasses. Wa thabbit aqdamana. And make firm our feet. That is, make us stand firm on the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strengthen us. Give us courage so that we don't get discouraged, so that we don't get intimidated. كَيْ لَا تَزُولَ So that our feet will not be swept away, so that we will not be discouraged, we will not be intimidated, and then we will not be weakened. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ And give us victory, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, over the unbelieving people. Those people of those prophets said that. And then it is said, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, يَقُولُ فَهَلَّا فَعَلْتُمْ وَقُلْتُمْ It is said to us, sorry, that wouldn't you do what the Sahaba did and then say what the Sahaba said مثل ذلك يا أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم okay it is said to the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that won't you say exactly what those people also said and behave like they behaved so that you'll be prosperous as they were prosperous because all that they said behind their prophets was that they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen them. And that's all they needed. They needed strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They needed courage from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't call the name of any human being. They didn't go to call the names of their prophets. No, they called the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Won't you do the same too? or companions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then won't we do the same too? We followers of the companions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. Won't we do the same? No matter how difficult it gets for you, do the same. Stand behind your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam and never leave him at any time. So Allah says, So when they did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, and they said what we heard, فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Of course, like you heard, some will recite this as fa'ati, fa'ati, actually te, this al-imalatul kubra is mostly not done by Warsh. Warsh only has what? Huh? What does he have? Bayna bayin. Huh? Ate. Huh? What do you call that? Huh? What do you call it? One word. Taqleel. Taqleel. That's what Warsh has. But people like Hamza, wa Hamzatun wal Kisa'iyyu ba'dahu amala zawati al-ya'i waqfan wa mawsila. So like Ibn Kathir and who? And Kisa'i, they will do the complete imala. Ati. All of them, waqfan wa mawsila, whether they are stopping or they are continuing with the recital is the same. It will be complete imala. But for Warsh, mostly it's not imala, it's taqleel. فَآتَهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا دُنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. Just like we heard it recited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآتَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Ata is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the thing to them. Just like it is said in Surah Maryam, أَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ. So it's not جَاءَهَا, it's not that the مَخَاض came to her. The مَخَاض pulled her. Huh? Pulled her to a place. It is the حَيْض that, you know, pulled her, the pain pulled her to that place because she needed to get there. Do we understand? Uh-huh. In the same vein, آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the thing to them. So it's not just that they earned it, no. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it, delivered it to them. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you victory, it doesn't have to be that you understand how the victory comes. That you have to work towards it one by one before it comes. It doesn't have to be like that. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gives it to you and you start wondering, how did this thing come? How did I get it? You just can't tell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things in very wonderful ways. فَآتَهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to them the rewards that they will get in this dunya, in this world. What is that reward? An-Nusra wal-Ghanima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave them booties, spoils. وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. Anyone you say is the same. أي الْأَجْرِ وَالْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them reward, and that is the good of the reward of the Akhirah. He gave them reward on the Mizan, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Jannah. He gave them in this world, and then He gave them in the hereafter. That's what you will get, insha'Allah ta'ala, if your faith is strong. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are muhsinin. Muhsinin here is referring to those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the utmost piety. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though they see Him. Because though they do not see Him, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees them. So they worship him with all consciousness. You know the girl in the home when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was going around Medina, going around houses to hear what people were saying about his administration. He was walking and one day he just overheard a conversation inside the house. And he stayed outside the house, you know, there was defense, they weren't seeing him. He wasn't seeing them either, but he was listening to what they were saying. And the mother, you know, they were selling milk. Just like, you know, the Fulanis go about with milk now. So the mother said, add some water to that milk. Add some water to the milk. And the girl said, no. But Umar Amir al-Mu'minin said, we shouldn't do that again. Umar says it is wrong. So she said, but Umar is not here. Umar cannot see you. So go ahead, my girl, add water to the milk. Umar will not know you did it. She said, if Umar is not here, Allah is here. If Umar can't see us, Allah can see us. So we shouldn't do it for Umar, we should do it for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar heard that, he went back home and said, one of my children must marry that girl. You know, it's not that he saw a Rolls Royce outside the house, so he heard that the girl was schooling in America, she was doing this and that, he said, ah, that girl must be your wife. No. He didn't even see the girl. Whether she was ugly, whether she was beautiful, he didn't care about that. Was she tall or short, he didn't care about that. Did she have body odor, he didn't care about that. What he was concerned about was the fact that the girl is a muhsina. That the girl fears Allah even when there is nobody looking at her. She is conscious of Allah because she knows if she can't see Allah, Allah can see her. This alone attracted Umar to her. But of course she was a small girl, so and he had boys who were grown. So he said, one of you must marry that girl. Abdul Aziz, the son of Umar, married that girl. And you know who they had? They had the fifth Khalifa of Islam. The man whose reign was full of justice, that people said he was the fifth of the Al-Khulafa Ur-Rashidun. And who is that? Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And when they had him, he came from that generation. You can imagine, when Umar bin Abdul Aziz came, one day some people were rearing animals in the desert, and then somebody heard, one of the herdsmen heard that a tiger or so had killed one of their sheep. So he said, La ilaha illallah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Said, do you know what this means? The fact that this tiger ate this sheep, it means that Umar Abdul Aziz is dead. Says, Umar bin Abdul Aziz must be dead. Because when he was alive, because of his justice, even these predators were conscious of his justice, and they never touched anything belonging to his people. His justice even got to the forest, to the wild, that even wild animals knew that there was a just king in town. So they did not misbehave. They did not touch anything belonging to the people of that just king. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah, if you fear Allah, the things that will happen to you, the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do to you, you will never understand. You will never know the extent that it will go. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam sent a messenger. He was passing and the lion came and I was about to devour him. He talked to the lion. He said, how dare you? I was sent by the leader of mankind. How can you touch me? You won't kill me when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me. And the lion just walked back. Faith, just sheer faith. He wasn't concerned about his life. He said, the Muhammad sent me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't touch me. And the lion just heard the name and went back. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. If your faith is strong, you worship Allah as though you see him, wallahi you'll be surprised the magic that will happen in your life. Throw your talisman away. Throw your amulets away. Don't believe in marabouts anymore. Don't go to any soothsayer. Say tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Say hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Wallahi al-azim, the things that will happen to you, you'll be surprised. May Allah's protection be all that we depend on. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to protect us. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll continue from the 149th verse. Huh? Inshallah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tuti'u ladhina kafaru. Na'am. This one says, is it permissible to site a mosque facing a grave within a compound? No, it is not permissible. It is not permissible. Don't build a grave, a mosque where there is a grave. Don't build a mosque where there is a grave. Because Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited praying by the graveside. Do we understand? So don't build a mosque towards a grave. You would be emulating the Banu Israel, the kuffar amongst them, the Ahlul Kitab. Do not emulate them. Do not do what the Christians do. If there is a grave here, do not build a mosque on it or beside it. Or just behind it. Do not do that. Go to a place where there are no graves, where there is no cemetery, and build a mosque. And stop burying your dead by your mosque. There are people who do that deliberately. There's a mosque here, somebody dies, they bring his grave next to the mosque, just by where the mihrab, where the imam stays. They come and bury the person there, just immediately after the mosque. This is wrong. In the opinions of people like Al-Imam Al-Albani, you will not even pray there at all. Huh? Wallahu ta'ala alam. There are some ulama who think, since there is a wall, there is a fence between you and the grave, you can pray no problem, since the mosque was not deliberately built before the grave, but the grave was dug after the mosque had been built, by some people of low understanding, that you can pray in there, but the safest thing is not to pray there. Do we understand? Or if possible, remove the corpse from there and take it to the cemetery, to the Muslim cemetery. It's better, if it's possible. If that is not possible, then maybe you have to destroy the mosque and site it somewhere else. But it's not right to be praying towards the grave. Allahu ta'ala ala. This one says, can a brother who has extreme love for beards, but has little or no beards, make his beard sprout out or grow easily by applying creams? If you have one grain, just one strand of hair, nurture it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you would have wanted more than that. But Allah is testing you with only this one strand. How will you hold it? Will you be contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you? Or will you be looking at somebody else? Just be contented with what Allah has given you. No matter how yours is, hold on to it like that. And with your intention, Allah will reward you. You may have more reward than somebody who has his beard up to his stomach. Because some people have it like that, but they are Ahlul Bid'ah. And some people do not have even one strand of hair as beards. They have never had it. And they'll die like that without any hair there. It doesn't matter. Allah will count you amongst those who had because you wanted it. That's all. This one says, is it good to be observing or performing nawafil witr twice in a day? Because some people observe salah after Isha, salatul Isha, and in the Tahajjud, midnight, is in the Sunnah. This is confused. Anyway, you don't perform it twice. If you are performing it twice, it means the first one was incomplete and then you complete it later in the night. But if you are going to pray behind the Imam, pray with him to the end. Pray with the Imam to the end. Don't severe the prayer. But if you want to pray in the night later, then don't go to the Imam. Wait until later. If that later that you're praying, there is going to be a jama'ah that will have an Imam, then you go and follow those ones. But you can't do it twice. You've done 11 rak'ahs here, you go again in the night and do another 11. It's not permissible. You can only do 11 in the night, and that's all. But if you come to pray behind the Imam in Taraweeh, you pray 4 rak'ahs and you go, and then you go and pray the rest later, you have missed the reward that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said you get if you follow the Imam to the end. You understand? I hope this is understood. Now, this one says, I missed Fajr prayer on Monday because I woke up late and the sun was already out. Can I pray the missed Salah the following day after my Subhi prayer in Jama'ah? No. No. The day you missed it, since you slept, and you woke up after sunrise, say the Salatul Fajr at that time. It will be as if you said it in its right time. Because the time you woke up is the prayer time for you. It's not deliberate. The one you leave deliberately that they say you have missed it. But when you slept and woke up, maybe let's say you even woke up now. You didn't wake this morning till now. It's 5:20 now. This is the time for Fajr for you. So perform Fajr now, perform Zuhur now, perform Asr now. It will be as if you perform them at the right time. Do you understand? Yes, because when you were sleeping, the Sharia was not applicable to you. I hope we understand that. Now, this one says, what is the ruling on someone who smoke cigarettes or weed during the day of Ramadan? Okay, if you smoke weed or cigarette, where does it go? Does it go to your lungs or does it go to the stomach? Does it go only to the lungs or does it also go to the stomach? Where does it go? Only to the lungs. It doesn't go to the stomach? I'm not hearing you. You are just I'm not hearing you. He just doing me like this. Which can one be that? What are you saying? Does it go to the lungs? Or does it go to the stomach? Both. And that means it will vitiate the fast. Of course it will vitiate your fast. First of all, you should know that those two are haram. They are not permissible, they are haram. In fact, weed, in the Sharia, if you take weed and you are caught, if you sell weed and you are caught, you should be killed. Because you are killing people. The one who takes it will be severely punished, but the one who sells it will be killed. Because he is killing people. You know why? Anything that makes people insane, it is as if the thing is killing. Because when you take somebody's senses, I mean you make somebody mad or you make somebody insane, your action affects somebody's sanity, it's as if you have killed that person. Because his sanity is as good as his life. So when you affect that, then you should be killed. Do you understand? So weed is a very serious thing. Or hashish. Or igbo. Or what do you call it again? Bana. What again? Marijuana. That one is foreign. Local names that we call them. Ganja. We. So that's a very terrible one. But even cigarette is haram because it's harmful. So whether it's Ramadan or not, it's not right for you to take them. But in Ramadan especially, the sin is more. The sin is more. And anybody who does that has vitiated his fast. And Muslims should treat that person as shaitan himself. He's amongst shayateenul ins. It's a very terrible thing. Don't go close to it. Whether it's Ramadan or after Ramadan, don't go close to them because they are harmful and they are haram. Now, this one says, can a non-Muslim share in the properties of his parents? Share how? If you are a Muslim and your son, Yazan Billah, decides to commit apostasy, of course he is still your son. So you can give him some of the things that you have, for instance. If you like, you can even give him your car and so on. He's still your son, only that he has done a very terrible thing. You can, if you so wish, if you think that that may probably bring him back to Islam, you continue to draw his attention to Islam. There's nothing wrong with that. Or if he is your son and he gives you, you can take. But once you are dead, he does not deserve even a pin that you have left as tarika, as you have left as the property to be inherited. He will not inherit you. He does not deserve to inherit you. Just like if you had a father who was a non-Muslim and he died, you cannot inherit him. This one says, to look at the face of a beautiful woman and green vegetation improves one's eyesight. How true is the above hadith? You know, like we have said, if you see a hadith that goes contrary to the basic rules of Islam, then know that it's fabricated. The Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. The Quran says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. There is no way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come and say, if you look at a beautiful woman. What does a beautiful woman mean? Your beautiful wife? If it's your wife, you don't only look at her. You do more than looking at her, isn't it? And you get rewarded for it. Isn't it? If it's your wife. But if it's just any woman, it's haram to look at any woman. That's why when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had one of his young sahaba looking at a girl, he was pushing his face and you know, cautioning him against that. Stop looking at that woman. Isn't it? So it's haram. So how can the same person say, if you look at a beautiful woman, you know, this is a heresy. Ya'adhan billah. Okay. Inshallah. May Allah forgive the mistakes we have made and reward us where we are right. Please don't forget these last nine nights, because we have already spent one. Huh? We have already spent one. We spent one yesterday. The night of the 20th we have spent. Now the night of the 21st. Until the night of the 30th. Huh? Make sure that these nights are not wasted. Continue to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on you and to wipe all your sins. And pray for the generality of Muslims. Increase the ibadat that you engage in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our dua these nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipe our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our departed. And may He make our death the best of deaths, so that we die with kalimatu la ilaha illallah. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بها جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا وجعله الوارث منا وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته